Welcome to QualityCast North, a podcast dedicated to showcasing healthcare quality improvement across Northern British Columbia. Our podcast is sponsored by the Physician Quality Improvement Initiative, or PQI. PQI is a flagship program that the Specialist Services Committee, which is a collaboration between the Provincial Ministry of Health and the Doctors of BC, with representation from local health authorities. We are casting to you today from the traditional territory of the Kleidlay-Tené First Nation. And hosting today's episode are Dr. Shir Chewy and myself, Deanna Danskin.
According to Statistics Canada, we're currently experiencing a huge increase in unmet mental health needs in modern society. The prevalence of anxiety, depression, and social phobia have jumped since the COVID pandemic and show no signs of abating. So how can our health systems cope with this surge in demand for mental health services when the medical community itself is in crisis with physician shortages and burnout commonplace? Well, there's some good news in British Columbia. A quality improvement project originally from Victoria has turned into a hugely successful province-wide mental health service based on in-person and virtual group medical visits. It's called Mindspace, and to talk about it is today's guest, Dr. Fiona Pettigara. Hi, Fiona. So glad you could join us today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Now, before we get into your quality improvement work on helping develop Mindspace, I wonder if you could give us and our listeners a little context about yourself. What's your background and what did your journey into medicine look like?
Yeah, sure. I am an immigrant to Canada. I moved here from Pakistan when I was 9 years old and do not come from a family of physicians, come from a strong bloodline of teachers. So I thought that's where I was destined to be and was never pushed into medicine or anything really, was just given opportunity to carve out my own path, and took a long time till about the age of 25 to land on medicine and stop having fun and travel the world and live in different countries, and thought it was time to get serious and saw that medicine would be a great fit because I love challenge and growth and lifelong learning, and didn't think I would ever get bored in medicine, which has proved to be very accurate, and I'm really grateful for the work and the opportunity that medicine gives us.
That's great. And you know, everyone's journey looks different, and it's been great listening to everyone's story about how they found themselves in the roles they were. So that's wonderful. And can you tell us a little bit about your current role and maybe a little bit about the team of people you work with?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a full scope family physician based out of Vancouver, and I split my week into 2 days of a family practice. I also do low risk obstetrics once per week, and twice per week I am involved with Mindspace, where I'm the provincial family physician wellness lead for the program. And it was formerly and just recently called CBT Skills Society. So we just switched over and rebranded to Mindspace to encompass what we do, which is beyond cognitive behavior therapy skills. And I work with an incredible team of facilitators. We have about 66 facilitators now, and we continue to spread and grow. We have 5 full-time equivalent administrators and a pretty incredible executive director who has great foresight in creating this program.
So turning a bit more to your work with the Mindspace program and the cognitive behavioral therapy skills, which we'll probably be referring to as CBT, throughout, that's what that acronym stands for the listeners throughout the rest of our episode. Talking about your work with Mindspace, can you tell us a bit about the original quality improvement project that led to the creation of this program, and particularly the problem it addressed and where the idea initially came from?
Yeah, so this program started in 2015 with a group of 4 family doctors and 4 psychiatrists in Victoria who were trying to address the mental health crisis and the limited access to resources for mental health services. And they saw that it just wasn't sustainable to be able to deliver the care that was needed to patients in at least BC. And so through a small grant from Shared Care, as well as the Victoria Division of Family Practice, a program was developed that incorporated various different psychotherapy modalities, including cognitive behavior therapy, dialectical behavior therapy, mindfulness, self-compassion. And a program was developed that particularly pertained to people with mild to moderate depression and anxiety.
And what are the core components of this program, and how is it delivered so patients can access it?
Yeah, so it's over 8 weeks, and people come together each week for 90 minutes at a time, so an hour and a half. And there's a group of up to 15 participants led by a physician facilitator. And the physician will bill MSP for group medical visits, so the participants can access this, and it doesn't have to be at cost to the patient, not directly, anyways. They were offered in in person before the pandemic, and then in the middle of the pandemic we switched over to virtual, and now we offer both options, both in person and virtual, and participants can choose what they prefer. And each week they learn skills and get to build on them each week over the course of the 8 weeks. So we have what's called a foundations group that addresses some of these different modalities. We also have a few other foundational groups, including CBT for insomnia. We have a parenting course called Raising Resilient Kids. We also have one called Skills for Success, which targets executive functioning skills for people who may have ADHD. And then we also have booster groups and level two groups that delve further into specific topics like mindfulness, procrastination, avoidance, perfectionism. And so people have the opportunity to delve into further skills if it interests them and if they find it valuable.
Yeah, that's very, very diverse. A lot of offerings through the program. It's really cool. And
Yeah.
so this started as an initial project. And can you explain a little bit how the program has sort of spread and evolved since 2015? I mean, it's almost 10 years ago.
It has. Yeah. So it started on the small scale in 2015 in Victoria, like we mentioned. And then in 2017, it moved over to Vancouver, which is when I first got involved with it. And a group of seven family physicians were trained in Vancouver. And then in 2020, we received funding from Shared Care in collaboration with UBC CPD to spread the project across the province. And there were three arms of the spread. So one was to increase patient access to groups. The second arm was to offer physician wellness groups as well. And the third arm was to train up to 100 family physicians by 2025 across the province so that it could be accessible all over BC, both in person and virtually.
So, just moving on to your comment about virtual, what was
Yeah.
the impact of the COVID pandemic on this work? And did COVID help or hinder the program overall, do you think?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think in hindsight, it probably helped us to recognize that spread was possible in a much more efficient way than we may have initially thought. And before March 17th of 2020, we were all going to a physical space to offer the program. And so it was very limited geographically to who could access it. And literally overnight, we switched over to offering it virtually on Zoom. And I had never even heard of Zoom before March of 2020. I don't know if I'm alone in that. And suddenly we saw that people could access it all over the province. And it was also really helpful to address some of the barriers that were preventing people from being able to come physically to the program, be it transportation, cost, chronic pain, mobility concerns, childcare needs. And then when we started to venture into training other physicians, we didn't have to plan out how will we go to a physical community. So I think the aspect of incorporating virtual care came very abruptly with the pandemic, but also really gave us the opportunity to expand all across the province. And sometimes I will Google where someone is, like where a participant is, because I've never heard of this really like remote island. And so it's pretty incredible how large our province is and how we can all access this mental health resource.
Yeah, it's great. Very cool.
Now, it's wonderful to hear that you've spread so widely across the province, but I want to just dial back a little bit and just ask, maybe perhaps in the earlier stages of the program, how did you measure your outcomes from the project, and how did you measure success in those early stages?
Yeah, so I think the original founders of the program, while they de were developing the program, and because it was on such a small scale, They were very mindful of making sure they didn't spread too quickly to be able to still address needs. It's great when there is a program, but the second it becomes an over 1 and 2 year wait list, it has its own limitations. So they were very mindful of pacing the spread, and so to measure the three different intertwined programs, like we mentioned, the patient arm, the physician arm, as well as training facilitators, we used validated tools such as the Patient Health Questionnaire 9, the G87. We also used a Stanford Professional Fulfillment Index, as well as a brief resilience scale. So we used some validated tools. We also use surveys with standardized questions. We had focus groups that we had to understand and improve ideas around attendance, attrition rates, wait times, referrals. And we also use descriptive data to understand seasonal variations. And we also had surveys for facilitators so that we could get facilitator feedback around, are there any obstacles to be able to provide this care? And then through numerous small-scale PDSA cycles, we were able to evolve the program so we could select the best measurement tools and to focus our outcome measures and our process measures. And then we were able to implement change and growth based on data.
That's an impressive series of metrics that you've employed there. And we mentioned this earlier, but particularly since the pandemic, that, you know, we know that there's been a huge increase in the number of patients who with mental health needs. And so how have you managed to keep up with that in terms of scaling the service? How do you keep up with that increasing demand? I mean, you talked about training new facilitators, but what does that actually involve?
Yeah, I'll break that up into maybe two questions. To address the increasing demand, it's constantly assessing and collecting data to assess the supply, as in, how many facilitators do we need, as well as the demand of the service. How many groups should we offer? And so we often are gauging how many groups to offer both in the short and in the long term, so that we can plan for, the current 2 to 3 months, as well as the next 2 to 3 years. And so that really helps us to scope and scale in a sustainable way. And given that it even originally started off as such a small program and still is quite a small program to be offered provincially, there's pretty small input relative to the output that we can generate from the program. So, I mentioned we have 66 facilitators right now, and we get about 40 to 50 referrals per day. And so far, we've had about 25,000 participants in BC come through the program, and about 600 physicians have completed the program. And so we've been, along the way, very mindful of what can we offer in what capacity and what does planning for the future look like. Because what we don't want is for someone to be referred to the program and then to have this really long wait list. So most people can get into the program within a couple of months, which for mental health, I would say is a win in BC.
Definitely a win. And then the facilitators themselves, those are physicians who come forward who would like to train. What does that process involve?
Yeah, so we continue to train facilitators across the province as part of the SPREAD project. And so to train a facilitator, we have five different phases of training. And in phase one, a physician is taking the program as a participant with no expectations. You just show up and you take the program. In the second phase, a physician is paired up with a psychiatrist and will start to co-facilitate on a minor scale. And then in phase three, they will once again be paired up with a psychiatrist and facilitate with more of a major role, perhaps 50% of the content. And after that, they can go off on their own and facilitate. And we have a facilitator's guide that is followed, as well as a standard workbook that is followed. And there's help close by. So often a new facilitator will have lots of questions around content, how to answer specific questions, how to navigate a specific situation that may come up in a group setting. And so there's a lot of help available from more experienced facilitators, supporting training facilitators. And then once they have done about five groups on their own, we can even go back and do another phase where you are co-facilitating with someone else, but really honing in on your skills and delving deeper into content and understanding a lot of the very different modalities that are being offered. So the training can vary depending how fast people are going through the program, probably up to 2 years to train a facilitator.
And how can the public access this service? Do they need a specific referral?
Yeah, it is a referral because it's an excellent program, but it's not for just anyone. It's specifically targeted to either physician wellness or for a patient, it targets mild to moderate depression or anxiety. And what the person who may not benefit from it is perhaps somebody with an acute mental health crisis or unresolved trauma. They may not benefit from a group setting, and they may be better suited for more tailored service that could address their needs. And so to try to make sure that the participant's an appropriate fit, they do need a referral from their primary care doctor, who's also their MRP. And the referral forms are available on Pathways as well as on most EMRs, and they have very clear inclusion and exclusion criteria for the program.
Sounds like you thought of everything.
Over time, and our, for example, referral form has evolved over time as we learn and grow and go through PDSA cycles and adapt.
That's great. Now, you've been involved in this project from very early on, and you've seen it evolve and spread in this very successful way. But what do you think were the key factors that led to the overall success of this program and Mindspace?
I think probably the number one success factor was the people who initially started the program, as well as the people who continue to add to the team. Everyone is there with a growth mindset and is very passionate about the work. Our executive director is just incredible, and her leadership really carries the organization far. Having that early evaluation framework alongside developing the program was probably a key factor to success. And anytime we incorporate something new, we're very mindful of how is this new project? Can we sustain it? And we just don't want success to take over and no longer be able to meet the demands. So that's often something that is usually the forefront of our mind. So having those, as I mentioned, those small and frequent PDSA cycles so that we can continue to measure and adapt as we spread is probably another key to the success so that we can build sustainability into each step along the way.
Yeah, it's great to hear about that continuous improvement piece, actually, which is so vital for making sure that the program evolves according to the need. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And in fact, we just having gotten feedback, we said, we made this workbook, for example, in 2015, but a lot has evolved and changed over time. And so in the last while, a lot of effort's been put into making a new workbook to be more reflective of one of our core values of EDI or equity, diversity, inclusion, and belonging. So we've changed a lot of the language, a lot of the examples. We've diversified our trainers. We've had all of our facilitators take a lot of workshops to try to widen our scope and breadth of knowledge. And so that's just part of the evolution and growth of the project.
Yes, always evolving. I like that. I like that approach. And again, this has been almost 10 years, so I think that's something to keep in perspective for those of us that are supporting or working on new QI projects. It is a lot, like it can be a longer term journey to get to that sustainment. So yeah, very interesting. So going back to the topic of physician wellness, we talk on this podcast, we like to reach out and see what physicians are doing to support their own mental health. So I understand Mindspace, as you've discussed, also offers a specific group aimed at physicians in need of support for their own mental health and wellness. So we've talked about that. But how do you keep yourself healthy and prevent yourself from burning out? Do you have any personal strategies or sort of things you like to do in your free time to support your own mental health?
Yeah, I think that looks, very different for each individual. For me, it's about being proactive and focusing on preventing burnout before finding myself overwhelmed. And so for myself, I have an early morning meditation practice that really helps me daily, as well as an early morning workout with a group of pretty incredible Canadian physician women's, it's called the FC group. And so starting my day and trying to maximize and optimize how full my bucket is takes me far. Being mindful and thinking about my boundaries at work to know what to take on and what to let go of can be really helpful. I also am blessed to live near a forest. So being in the forest and going for walks daily brings me immense joy. And having pre-planned time to do things, because otherwise I find everything just gets busy and carries us away. So pre-planning my time to have fun and take vacation and step away from the daily hustle or grind, I find is really helpful.
Yeah, those are all great strategies. Great, great, great advice. So just thinking about, you know, where we live, you just mentioned we are very blessed to have so much nature around us. I think that's pretty common for a lot of places in the province. But just expanding on that, we're always looking at ways to promote BC as a great place to live and work, especially for physicians and healthcare workers. So what do you like most about living and working in BC?
Yeah, I think, you know, as an immigrant, I don't think a single day goes by without me having so much gratitude for this land and its beauty and its opportunities. And I love, you know, attempting to keep up with my family, be that mountain biking or skiing. I think some part of me being here is also a little bit about luck. You know, another part of my job is delivering babies. And I see that, you know, often we're born without a say in where we land. And so using my good luck and fortune and privilege to be able to propel change and growth. And yeah, just immense gratitude for having landed in BC.
Yeah, that's lovely. We are, it's true, very blessed to be where we are and all the privileges we have. So we could carry on talking about this excellent work and this very successful program for probably another hour. But we have our closing music coming, which means we're running out of time for this episode and have to draw things to a conclusion for the day. But it's been wonderful having you on the show today, Fiona. And we will be sending you, as we do for all our guests, a highly coveted Quality Cast North coffee mug. And if you, the listener, would like to find out more about today's guest and about the Mindspace program, you can find those details and relevant links in the show notes on our website at www.nhpqi.ca, where you'll also find links to our other episodes. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please subscribe to our channel on either Spotify, Apple, or wherever you find your podcasts. So until next time, it's goodbye from your hosts. I'm Deanna Danskin.
And I'm Shad Chewy.
And you've been listening to Quality Cast North.
Today's episode was hosted and co-produced by Dr. Shad Chewy and Deanna Danskin, with technical support from Matt Walker. Original music by Daniel Chewy, and artistic support by Reggie Goodine. Further information on the content of today's episode is available with the show notes on our website, nhpqi.ca. Quality Cast North is recorded on the traditional territory of the Clayclaytonais First Nation. If you enjoyed today's interview, check out our other episodes available on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you find your podcasts.